Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in. It's time for another Tips for Truthers. Yes, that's right. I have my 6 episodes in now, something. I'm losing count. I'm not numbering these ones like I did with the first batch I did a couple of years ago. I'm just going to leave these as nebulous tips for any time and occasion with no hierarchical order necessary for when you should be following these loose pieces of advice. And that's all they are. Just advice. Take them or leave them. They're not a die-cast set of rules you must follow or else. It's just something to take on board or to think about while you're out there trying to tell your loved ones and family about very horrible, hard-hitting truths about reality that have otherwise been hidden from them. And this tip is about your friends and family. And this is a tough one. This one's hard for a lot of people, especially the new people who have just woken up for the first time and are out there excitably spreading the word as best as they can about all the things they've uncovered. And that is that, well, your friends and family will likely not believe you. Now, there's always exceptions. Some of you out there might be blessed and lucky enough that your husband, wife, children, mother, father, brothers and sisters did listen. And they have come on board and they're on the journey with you now. And that's wonderful for you. But I can tell you right now, you are the 1%. You are the exception to the rule, not the norm. Okay, the norm is your family will not listen to you. They are not going to want to hear the things you're going to tell them. They will possibly worry about you for it, maybe think you've gone insane, possibly talk about locking you up or taking you away or removing your kids from you, or I don't know, just doing things to you for your own safety, you know, because you've clearly lost grips with reality and are no longer, you're a danger to yourself and everyone around you with these unhinged ideas that you currently have, you know. That is the norm. That is pretty much how you'll be received if you start coming out as a conspiracy theorist to your family, you know. You should be careful. You should be aware of that. Okay, now I get it. You know, preach the truth to everybody. Doesn't matter who it is. So what if they reject you? Get on with it. That's just the way it is. And yeah, I get that gung-ho attitude. I understand that, yeah, whatever. No, but nobody should deter you from preaching the truth no matter what, no matter who it is. The truth is the truth and it stands, and I'll say it loud and proud no matter what the consequences are. Fair enough, yeah, you know, go out there and do that. But be aware there are consequences. Okay, and some people are not going to be able to bear those consequences. Because it could be not just that they lose friends and family, but they could lose their job as well and everything else and then end up homeless on the streets and possibly, you know, starving to death or dying in some stupid, horrible way that was completely avoidable and unnecessary. That could be the case if you're not careful. Because if you got into the conspiracy realm, okay, and I know a lot of my followers are Christian, and when I say in the truth, they think I'm just talking about being a Christian. I'm not. I am a Christian first and then a conspiracy theorist, yes, but there are plenty of people who listen are just conspiracy theorists and don't have a spiritual basis for what they're looking into. And maybe today we'll get into some of the Christian angle to kind of help better explain what it is to talk about truth, you know, and people's reactions. We'll get into that. But yes, a large portion of my audience are just truthers. They're just conspiracy theorists. And even they suffer from just telling their friends and family about something like the lines in the sky, or the poison in the food, or the banking control systems, or the Illuminati hidden secret satanic secret societies in control of the music industry, all this type of stuff, the basic stuff, you know. You'll be rejected just for that. Never mind talking about Jesus Christ. You know, you are going to be hated and rejected in your own home for talking about just those basic topics, no religion involved whatsoever. And if you do start getting into the religious aspects, you're likely, if not a Christian, getting into the whole consciousness, 5D reality, you know, sacred geometry stuff, you know, how our consciousness are being held down through low vibrational frequencies, and the music is tuned to 440 hertz rather than the original 432, all that kind of stuff. You're probably doing that to your family, you know what I mean, rather than talking about what the Christian truthers are doing, saying they're hiding Christ from you. He's literally possibly even been here for 1,000 years already, if you're going down that stuff. Or, you know, everything is geared, is satanic. They all worship Lucifer and they're all in opposition against God. There's that kind of stuff as well, you know. And whatever you're saying to your family, whichever angle you come from, you're going to get rejected. Okay. And now this is the advice. I'm just telling you, first of all, the basic, the problem. Okay. The issue. You will be rejected in your own home for talking about these things, because you have now turned up, and to your family, from their perspective, you're the little boy they watched grow up, or little, you know, whoever you are, you're the person they watched grow from a child to be an adult who's always been one way, and now suddenly they're different. You've changed, okay, and they are not going to like that. That's they don't see somebody who's discovered some truth or has learned something for the better, let's say, or has become enlightened in a trivial, no, a small sense. They see somebody who is kind of, you're different now. You aren't the child I remember you, I raised. Something's wrong with you. That's how they'll see it. They're going to struggle to see you any other way. They can't. And it's kind of like, they just see you suddenly go down this I'm against everybody on my soapbox preaching all the time type of person. And it's kind of, that's not my child. What happened to them? What did they see to make them like this? It's that kind of stuff. And then you've turned them off then to wanting to understand anything at all you're talking about. And again, there are some out there whose family were open to it and accepted you with open arms and got on board, but you are not the rule. You're the exception. Now, the advice I would say is, you need to learn to accept that and stop pushing. You need to realize that that was always going to be the case, whether you liked it or not. And now you need to go along to get along and realize you can't change that. Okay? You're never going to change it. You're really going to struggle and possibly just lose everything in your family if you keep pushing on that note. You're not going to convince them because they have lost their child to this information. It's that kind of stuff, you know, and they don't want to know. It's kind of like they're viewing you like the wayward child is suddenly a drug addict or something. They're seeing you in that kind of light, the crazy one of the family. And yeah, you could go down the roots of saying, well, they're just narcissists and they've labeled me as the black sheep, and you can stop throwing labels around. And that does happen in many cases, and I get all that. But in most cases, this is just as simple as you suddenly changed because you discovered some stuff. And they're not happy about it. And they don't like that you've become a different person. And they reject the information you have to share with them simply because their baby's no longer their baby. Something like that, you know. And you can apply that to spouses, to siblings as well. And it's like, that's not my brother anymore. What happened to them? You know, you're not the person I married. That type of stuff. That tends to be how it goes. Those closest to you will be the ones to reject you the most. So this is biblical. We can look at some passages. If we look at Mark 6, for example, just the first opening, 1-6, Jesus is explaining why he's there preaching in Nazareth, his hometown, and everyone's rejecting him. It's like, isn't this like the carpenter? Isn't this like the son of Mary? And his brothers are here and his sisters are here. And it's kind of like, who's this guy? Like, isn't this like that carpenter that just, you know, who's this person claiming to be the Messiah, you know, of all things? They were laughing at him because he had an image in their head of who this person is that they just can't shake. It's kind of, you know, and he even says, you know, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. So he's basically saying, you know, prophets are quite well respected everywhere else, but their own home. Like, and I'm not saying we're prophets, people who are conspiracy theorists, we're not, but we're certainly people who are trying to get into the bottom of things. We're certainly people who are trying to not take the surface value interpretations we're given as givens and questioning the narratives we've been given to find what the bottom of it really is, the truth. We're truth seekers, first and foremost. So in a way, you know, Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, you know, so you can apply the same thing here, the same logic. Christ was saying he is the truth, he's the Messiah, he's the Savior, and everyone's like, no, you're not, you're just the son of a carpenter, you know. I know you. I've seen you grow up since a kid. Like, you're just some weirdo who always kept thinking he was special, you know. Something like that. They're just not going to see what everybody else sees outside of that, because they don't have the context to watch you grow. No, they don't have any of that, you know. But you can apply that truth logic to people going out there and waking up to things and dark realities and hidden hands and the occult nature of reality around them and the secret societies and that type of thing. Well, you start telling people the truth and they're like, who are you? What do you don't you work at Aldi or something? Like, who are you? What have you discovered that makes you think you know what you're talking about? It's that kind of stuff, you know. It's like, I know who you are. I went to high school with that guy. It's that kind of thing. You were the guy who was always making models out of matchsticks and not playing football and stood by the bins or something like that with all your mates. Like, you just, like, you'll see that bit of a personal story there. But it's kind of, they won't see you as anything worth listening to because they have this idea in your head of who you are. But if I go out away from that context and out to the broader world and start talking truth to people, they don't know who I am, and they'll listen to the information and go, well, this guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He clearly has done his research and he's thought about it. And that kind of attitude gets laid onto you instead, because they have no other context to put onto you, which is why you're going to be rejected by your family and those closest to you. It's just not going to work. And if it happened for you, congratulations. But you're rare. Extremely rare. And I'm only saying this as well because I want people to realize you're not alone. This has happened to pretty much all of us. Pretty much. You know, my family do not pay attention to what I do. They don't want to know. They're happy that, oh, he's happy, he does his thing, you know, and he supports his family and whatever. I don't really know what he does. But as long as the bills are being paid and the roof's over the head, it's fine, you know, whatever. They just turn a blind eye to it. They don't want to know. They don't want to listen. They don't care. When I did try and tell them all the stuff I've learned about the control systems when I was younger, you know, at my early stages, it turned into arguments and it turned into them exploding and telling me to shut up, basically. Like, they're sick of it. Why do I want to know these things? What can I do? You know, why should I listen to all this stuff? Like, I just want to get on with my life. I've been working all day. I've got to get to work tomorrow. You know, I'm tired and I just want to enjoy TV and watch my show. I don't need you telling me all this stuff, Paul. You're ruining everything. Just shut up. It was basically that. And I bet that sounds very familiar. But a lot of you listening right now have heard that pretty much said to you yourself, get off your soapbox. I'm tired of it. I'm not interested. So I learned to shut up 10 years ago. And since then, they don't really know what I do. They don't have a clue who I am. And there's been plenty of moments where I've talked with them. And they say stuff as though I'm still that person like 10 years ago. Like, my dad didn't even know I was a Christian until recently. And I've been a Christian for like, since 2014. Like 10 years. He didn't know. He didn't know because he's never asked. Because he doesn't care. He doesn't want to know what I do. They were happy when I was just working, earning a wage in a supermarket, you know. And it's kind of, now it's just some strange thing. Paul's just this weird guy. He's published a weird book about clowns. And it's kind of, you know, he earns a lot of money doing it. Or, you know, he can at least feed his family. So it's good enough for me. And that's it. They go on with that type of thing. And but I don't earn a lot of money. But they can see I can clearly support my family. So they're happy. It's that type of stuff. So they're like, I got rejected. They're going along to get along because I'm going along to get along. I didn't throw them out of my life because they are that way. And I guess this is the advice at the end of it all. Accept that they're not going to know and just get on with it. Okay, because there is another biblical precedence for this as well. And I will thank the person who sent me this message. Let me just quickly find them. So this comes from Ben Stoff, and he sent a message on my last one, The Truth is a Weapon. And he basically said, this video is just a long version of Hebrews 12:14 and basically Romans 12:18 as well. And he's right. This is basically what I'm trying to say to people here. It's not to forsake the truth, but it's to accept that some people aren't going to want to know the truth and to live peaceably with them. So if you read Romans 12:18, it basically says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, as hard as it can be to be rejected and to have people call you crazy and not listen to you, just live in love with them in peace and say, all right, fair enough. You know, you don't have to believe what I believe. That's fine. You know, let's get on with the job. That type of thing. Just learn to get along with people and accept that not everybody's in the same place as you. Okay. There's nothing you can do about that. It's kind of recompense to no man evil for evil. If they laugh and ridicule you, brush it off. Smile and go, all right, guys, I get it. You know, you don't believe me. That's fine. You think I'm crazy, whatever. But that's what I believe. Let's just get on with it. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. And I say that as in, because they're not going to want to believe you yet. They need to want to know the truth before they accept the truth. You can't convince anybody of anything until they want to actually know. And that's another tip I mentioned earlier. It's in one of the earlier episodes, maybe the second or third one, but people have to want to know the truth to know the truth. Whatever that is, they have to already have opened that door. They have to have already gained a curiosity. What's that all about then? If they haven't had that switch, then they're not going to listen. They are not going to listen. And very much particularly with friends, very close family, is where you'll get that problem. Because, again, it's an image issue. They don't see you that way. Like, they don't see you as the bastion of truth because they grew up with you when you were a teenager getting smashed in the park with them, you know what I mean? Like, they see you as like, weren't you that guy that threw up all night after drinking like a full 2 liters of cider when you were 13? It's kind of like, what do you know about Jesus Christ or God or the truth? Like, they don't see you that way. You know, they don't. The image is off, and it's going to be very, very difficult for them to see it any other way. It's likely they'll receive the message from somebody they don't know more than you, you know? And maybe that's what I'm trying to do here. Like, if you want to get these messages to your loved ones and friends and family, rather than you telling them, maybe just send them a video of me telling them instead. And that's kind of what my channel's for. I'm trying to make easily shareable, down-to-earth, humanized versions of the topics we discuss, you know, that you can share with people as time goes on. So do that instead. You're probably going to be more likely to willing to listen to me, a stranger, than you, their closest relative or loved one, telling them. It's sad, but it's just the way it is. I'm telling you this as through experience, okay, and through thousands of testimonies of people telling me their experiences. This is pretty much always the case. Maybe 1 in 100 people get that relationship with their family. Maybe. And usually it's because, you know, their parents told them the truth. You know what I mean? And they were raised that way or something. It's rare. It's so rare. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But if we read Hebrews 12:14... he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So what good is fighting with them? Really? Like, that's not what we're called to do as people have woken up to the truth. And I think this applies a lot more to Christian truthers than it does the non-Christian truthers. But non-Christian truthers, listen up, because this is good advice. Because it tends to be, and I'm not saying Christians are perfect, they're not, they can be equally as vitriolic and vicious with people, but it tends to be more often than not, you know, 7 out of 10 times, it's the non-Christian truthers who are the really, like, really horrible against those who haven't woken up, you know. They're really vicious towards them, they call them sheeple, and, you know, and they kind of derogatory label them as less than human or idiots in some way who need to wake up, and it's kind of like sticking their head in the sand type people, agents of the Matrix type attitude, you know, and it's, but in like a really vitriolic, horrible way, like, oh, they're just NPCs, and they treat them like crap, you know, and they dehumanize them, and they talk down about them, and it's kind of, they create a real negative us against them type of dichotomy. And I would say that's going to get you nowhere. Because if you want to wake people up, or at least start to get them curious, to start asking questions and get them into that clicked mindset I mentioned earlier, where they want to know, you have to be a good ambassador for the truth. You have to represent us as a movement. You've got to be out there as somebody who knows these things that people can look to and say, He looks like he's got his act together. He knows a thing or two. I wonder what this guy's discovered that makes him so calm and relaxed and cool and likable and personable. It's kind of like, what's going on with his life, you know? Like, I heard him talking about some stuff that I don't quite understand, you know? Maybe I'll go ask him about it. You need to be that type of approachable character. But if you're out there, like, rejecting every single person around you, say, no, you're all NPCs. You're all practically not human. You're all just weirdo sheep following the fold who can't think for themselves. You're all pathetic losers, and I'm the one who knows everything. I'm a lone wolf in this world. It's kind of, yeah, who's going to want to talk to that guy? Good job. Great, you know. Well done. Are you happy with yourself? Yeah, no one wants to listen to you. No one cares about your opinion. You just sound like a dick. Plain and simple. Pardon my French, you know. But that's how people are going to see you. It's like, yeah, I don't want anything to do with that guy. I don't want to listen to what he has to say. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's better than me? It's that kind of stuff, you know. You got to be clever. You got to be clever about how you handle this information, how you present this information. And there's some things you're just going to have to realize. Like I said, your friends and family are not going to want to listen. They're probably going to reject you. Try. But as soon as they push back, you've got a good idea of where they stand. Leave it. Live peaceably with them. Get on with it. Because you still need to be there to help them when they need help. You still need to love them. You still need to honor your mother and father. You still need to actually be there for them. Because life is hard enough. Growing old is hard enough. Just trying to make it through each day for most people is a very grueling task. Love one another. Help each other. No matter where you stand on your belief systems about who controls the world or your eschatologies or whatever it is, just love each other. It's a very simple commandment straight from God himself, you know. Without love, what's the point? What have you got? You know, yes, the world's corrupt and controlled and evil and everybody's against each other and everyone's out for themselves and there's narcissists running abound all over the place just doing everything they can to manipulate and gaslight us into following down agendas we just don't want to follow down, but we do it anyway because what choice do we have? I know everything's basically terrible. But we're all victims. And if we all lift each other up, support one another, help each other out when things get really bad, and just show love as a people towards other people, no matter where they stand with their beliefs, the world would very quickly become a better place. And maybe we'd avoid judgments from God in that respect and he'd give us those chances. And maybe things could get better and maybe things, more prosperity for all will abound and the rest of it. But it's not going to happen unless we're walking upright in the truth and in love. It's not going to happen. You know, so when someone doesn't listen to you or rejects you or you're upset that your family won't listen to you, forgive them. Because you've all been there, right? You were there at one point where you didn't know these things as well. Like, you're not special. You were also like them. It's not like, what makes you suddenly different now? Like, you know some stuff. Well done. You're proud of that? Does that mean they're suddenly no longer human? You're better than them now because you know some stuff and they don't know some stuff? Like, get rid of that pride. Get rid of that nonsense. Get that out of your head right now and love them. They are people struggling to live just like the rest of us. Okay, they've got things that they have to deal with, just like you, you know, and you don't suddenly have superpowers because you see through the illusion. Like, all your problems aren't suddenly solved because you now know who truly is in control of the world. And you're going to need some help. You're going to have many issues in your entire life where you're going to need support. And you might need your friends and family around to do that. You know, you're going to need some help. And you really want to burn all those bridges. Really, you know, do you think they're any less your mother and father because they don't know what was said? Do you think they did they wipe your ass any less for the first like 4 years of your life? You know what I mean? Did they feed you and keep you alive and love you and look after you and sacrifice for you any less just because suddenly you know some stuff and they don't want to listen to it? You got to realize, you got to get some perspective. You got to realize who these people are. You know, they are your family. You know, they are your siblings, your cousins, and even friends. Everyone needs a support system around them. And yes, look, sometimes when it comes to friends, it's best just to leave them behind, especially if they're pulling you back or holding you back or bringing you down. I get that. There's things you can do with that, you know, and sometimes you can move on and find more like-minded friends as well. But that doesn't mean you have to blow up those relationships. Maybe you can just move on peaceably. Okay. But don't blow them up. Don't go full C4 and everything. Don't go volcanic. Don't erupt and slam the door on the way out type of attitude when it comes to leaving these relationships behind. You don't have to be so destructive like that. And again, if you want to represent the truth and get people to actually open up to listening to the truth, you need to be somebody who has your shit together. I'm sorry, you do. Because if you don't, everyone's going to look and say, we were right. That stuff he learned drove him crazy. Look at him. He's gone off the rails. He's overreacting. He's gone nuts. You know, that's how they're going to look at you. But if you keep you cool, keep you calm, smile and get on with it, they'll go, oh, well, actually, you know, he seems happy. Like, you know, like maybe the stuff he's figured out is actually good. Maybe I should hear him out and see what he's on about, you know. You've got to think about how people perceive you. But I will just say, and it's a caveat to what I was saying earlier about, you know, these are your family. You got to keep them around. You're going to need the support network in the future as life gets worse, you know, for everybody and everybody around you. Because everything is always getting worse as we age, you know. That isn't to say, and that advice does not apply to people who are going through narcissistic abuse in the family. This does not apply to you. Okay, just like distancing yourself from friends and leaving them behind when, you know, they aren't working out for you or they're bringing you down, you can apply that to your family if you are literally being abused by them. So do not think I'm saying, stick with them even though you're being abused. No, that's not the case. If you're under some kind of psychopathic, sociopathic, borderline, narcissistic abuse system within your family, you can go no contact and leave them behind. I think you're fully justified in doing that. Okay, so don't think I'm applying that to you guys. I'm very well aware of that problem, okay? But if it's just a case of they just don't believe what you believe, but other than that, they're actually good parents, you know, and they're a loving family, but this issue in particular is called contention, you can just leave it, okay? You're probably better off just not pushing so hard. But if you're under abuse from your family, yes, that's a different problem, and I've made videos about that. You need to work on distancing yourself from those type of people, because your life will get significantly worse if you stick around. That's a difference, okay? I just want to make that clear before we finish off this video, because I know I said some things a few minutes earlier which probably triggered some people. You know, it's like, yeah, but my family's abusive and I need to get away from them. I can't stick around with them. I get that, okay? I really do. This is just for, like I said, normal, otherwise healthy family relationships being destroyed because you started talking about these topics. And look, I also know Christ came to separate family, to turn brother against brother, sister against sister, son, father against son. I know all that too. When it comes to the truth of Christ, yes, that is quite a dividing issue when it comes to salvation and believing in God and Christ's sacrifice. But when it comes to conspiracy theories, that's not something you should be destroying your family of. There is a distinction to be made here. And I'm making that distinction for you now, okay? Now, when it comes to broaching your family about Christianity and the truth in that, that's a different video. It's going to be a completely different video and a different set of advice, a different set of rules, a different set of rules of engagement, you know, which even I'm still, I don't have the answers to. That kind of thing will break your families apart if they're not open to accepting that kind of thing or getting involved. In Britain, we have a different kind of cultural attitude about religion and politics. You don't talk about that around the dinner table. It's just not the done thing. You keep that to yourself behind closed doors. That's kind of the British ethos about it. I know my American audience probably have a very different way of tackling that type of stuff. But in Britain, it's just not the done thing. It's just not how we behave here or the way we talk to each other. So when it comes to conspiracy theories, let's just keep it on that topic alone. Yeah, don't let this break your family apart. Don't let it break your family apart. So that's kind of the piece of advice, you know. Your family will reject you and your closest friends will reject you when you start telling them this truth, simply because of the proximity. You're too close to them. They already have images in their minds of who you are, and they're not going to take seriously anything you have to tell them, especially if you've changed. And they're also going to view you it as a problem because you have changed. They're going to see it as a major issue and possibly a problem, like you need help type of issue. So accept that that's probably going to be the case. Don't push on it. Keep them close and don't let something as trivial as conspiracy theories break you apart from your family and burn all those bridges that we all need in life. Okay. Instead, what you need to kind of do is just let them know that you think about these things, yes. Okay, and then when they have finally opened up a door in their life to start asking questions, you hopefully will be the first person they go to. And once they ask, and I mean sincerely ask, not ask you in a way where they're actually underhandedly trying to trap you. Well, what about this then? That type of attitude, you know. So they can go, well, actually, it's this, you know, so try and put you down, try to get you to change your mind about your conspiratorial beliefs. When someone asks, you know, when someone's asking those type of questions, okay, don't take that bait. Just say, you know where I stand on this. I'm not getting into it with you. Do something like that instead. But if they come up to you sincerely and they're like, I saw this in the news today and I remember that thing you said about, you know, what they're actually doing, and it actually made sense. Like, what do you think is going on here? If they ask that type of question, a door's open. Talk, but don't push. Just give them what you know and say, well, people think this. It's possibly that this is going on. And maybe behind the scenes, this is what the agenda is actually all about and where it's actually all leading to because of X, Y, and Z. And just let that seed germinate. Let it do its thing, okay? Then they'll come back and ask more questions once they've gone off and done their own stuff. All right? You've got to be careful. I think, was it JT who says this phrase? I can't remember who says it, but I think he said something like, you know, you don't water seeds with a fire hose. Okay? Freshly planted grass seed with soil on top. You don't want to disturb it all by putting too much pressure on it and just uprooting all the seeds. Just gently sprinkle it, you know, and let it settle and then leave it overnight. That's kind of how we have to tackle these type of things with people. And like I said, if you want to broach these things with your friends and family, just let them know you're a guy who they can talk to about these things when it comes to them personally. Okay, when they've personally made the choice to want to know sincerely. That's your only hope, really, to get your friends and family to listen. There you go. So there's the advice, guys. Your friends and family would reject you. Accept it and move on. So thanks for listening. I hope this was useful. I know this one's a bit more meandering than my usual videos, but it's a tough topic. It is. It really is. There'll be more coming in the future. And yeah, I'll see you in the next one. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.